Blog Talk Radio.
365 Girl World.
Hello, hello, hello. You are live with 365 Girl Radio. We are so excited about everything that's going on and all the amazing things that have happened this week. Guess what, guys? It's National Engineering Week. And how more befitting than us to celebrate some of the amazing female engineers that we know, and specifically one of my faves, Ms. Crystal Jackson, who's also one of my sorority sisters, known this young lady a very long time. But we'll get to that a little bit later. I got to introduce my co-host, who will be manning our social media channel today. Let me start with the college girl. College girl, just a little bit about yourself.
Hello, hello, world. I am Tia Hawkins, also known as the college girl. Western Illinois University marketing major, graduating in May of this year. I will not be on tonight's show, but I will be manning the Facebook page. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about tonight's show, feel free to shout me out on Facebook. Tia Hawkins, that's once again Tia Hawkins.
Great. And so College Girl, just to be clear, is also going to be running like a chat in Facebook. So if you're on our 365 Girl World and you want, 365 Girl page or our Crystal's Magical Journey into Engineering page, you can ask questions that you want to ask the guest host, and Tia will communicate with me and we'll get those questions answered by the guest host. Okay? So that's how that'll work. Now I got to introduce my buddy, my pal, my executive director, my right hand. Let me introduce the advocate, a.k.a. 365 Chi-Town Girl, Michelle Taylor, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our 28th live show on 365 Girl World Radio, and we're super-duper excited to introduce to you an awesome female engineer who rocks. If you are interested in asking Ms. Crystal any questions or you want to share with us a female engineer who you think rocks, be sure to hit us up. We'll be live on Twitter at 365 Girl World, and you can hit me directly at 365-CHITWNGIRL. We are super excited about tonight's show, and we're ready to get rocking and rolling.
Yay! Well, so let me do my introduction first, and then I'll go ahead and introduce our guest host. So I am Tracy Hawkins-Sidner. I'm the founder and author of 365 Girl Book and the Foundation. I am so excited about the things that are happening. We just came off of our first annual Los Angeles Glam Pajama Conference, and it was amazing. So many lives touched. Crystal Jackson, our guest host, was actually one of the guest speakers and mentors as well. We just had a phenomenal time in Los Angeles affecting these girls' lives, and it was just so amazing. So stay tuned for YouTube and pictures and all the good stuff that's going to follow. It was just amazing. Get any updates from 365girlsrock.com. That's our official website for the 365 Girl Foundation. Now, without further ado, I would love, love, love to introduce my illustrious guest host. So we're going to get a little Barbara Walter-y, if that makes sense, with our approach tonight. So usually there's the four of us, and a shout out to the heiress who's not with us tonight, but we're wishing her well wishes. So our guest host tonight is a female engineer who rocks. So let me just start with a little bit about Crystal Jackson. So Crystal L. Jackson, as she affectionately likes to be called in the business world. She is an author, a brand new author, who has a new children's book out called Crystal's Journey into the Magical World of, Crystal's Magical Journey into Engineering. And it's put out on Lexi Press Publishing. And Crystal wrote this book for kids to inspire them to love math and science and the careers, and just to talk a little bit about her journey, which we'll be diving into tonight. Crystal is an engineer, a software engineer with a very large defense contracting company. So without further ado, I would love to introduce Crystal Jackson, and we're going to get started with our questions. Crystal, you there?
I'm here. Hello, hello, everyone.
All right.
It is it's an honor to be online. And just to piggyback, if I can, just on this last past weekend, I had the honor of traveling to California to work with 365 Girl Foundation, and it was actually my first time interacting, being out, seeing what they do in the community. And I must say I was touched and moved by all that the organization is doing in the community. So I'm really glad to be a part of what's going on, just to see how you're affecting girls' lives in the community. So kudos to you, Ms. Sindor, and your organization.
Aw, well, geez. Well, that is what's up. And so we definitely appreciate the support and appreciate you coming out. The girls loved it. And so without further ado, let's go ahead and let everybody else see what the girls and I have already seen. Ms. Crystal Jackson, up close and personal. So the first question I have is, you know, how old were you when you decided that engineering was a field for you?
So I'll start by saying I was in the 11th grade, but there's a story behind it. I was at a very young age that, and the children's book talk about this, that I realized my love and frustration with math, with numbers at a very young age. So after mastering numbers, I became fascinated with numbers. And so for a very long time, up into my junior year in high school, I actually said I was going to be a math teacher until having a conversation with one of my older uncles who suggested engineering. So from my junior year in high school, that's when I knew that I would major in the engineering field.
Okay. Well, that's what's up. So I've got a quick question. So you said you were frustrated and excited about it all at the same time. Now, how does that happen?
Yes.
So you were frustrated.
I was about 6 or 7 years old, and this is the story behind it. I was 6 or 7 years old, and I had been introduced to timetables in school, and it was one evening before dinner. I was trying to understand timetables, and I was so frustrated, and I wouldn't eat. Like, I'm like, no. My mom was like, okay, it's time for dinner. You know, come to dinner. And I'm like, no, I don't get it. I don't understand it. So that's where the frustration kicked in. But because I just refused to give up, and I just wanted to understand how do I get from point A to point B, during that night, shortly after my frustration, I started recognizing, like, patterns and understanding the concept of multiplication. So it went from frustration to, a rush and excitement when I was like, wow, I finally get it. So it was at that point that difficult, just the introduction of it was difficult, but me sticking with it, sticking it out before dinner, and I was hungry. Trust me, I was hungry, but sticking it out and finally getting it, that just led to a whole world of opportunities with math. I developed a love for numbers and math at that point.
Wow. Now, was it just math, or did you have an interest in science too?
I did have an interest in science, but my preference was math. So, of course, with the sciences, the chemistries, and the physics, there was a love there, but math, I would say, was probably what catapulted me into the engineering field.
Got it.
But definitely science. I was more so with the science and math than I was. I enjoyed English and enjoyed all the subjects because I just refused them in school and what they call a brainy act, but I gravitated more to the math and the sciences.
Nice. So you like playing with your hands and kind of doing all that
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
The dissecting of a frog. I was like, okay, so seriously? Yeah, this science.
Yeah. So doing that and then mixing things up, of course, in chemistry, you have to go through the process of mixing, going through the mixtures and learning the different elements in, like, the chemistries and all of that. But I will still say math was number one. Like, I wanted to do my math homework, true story, when I was small because I would hurry up and rush through my work, and then I wanted to tell everybody else how to do theirs. So when I was younger, I would rush through my math homework when it was math time. And so the teacher, and then I would try to tell all the other kids, like tutor them at a very small age about how to get their problems right. So the teacher had to pull my desk up, like close to hers, because I like to talk a lot and tell everybody else what to do and how to do their math problems.
Got it. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, so much fun. Like, I've known you all my
it
life
was.
And didn't know all of that stuff. Not all my life,
Absolutely.
All of my adult. Clearly the college
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
So, a couple questions. How did you decide on a school, or, you know, how did you pick your school and then build that, and then once you pick the school, like, how did that evolve into where you are today?
So I started out once in high school because I was serious about my work. And like I said, I didn't want to miss school. I always wanted to be there. Academically, I excelled. So I received an academic scholarship. I started out at Lincoln University. A lot of people don't know that. because I graduated actually from Mizzou, which is in Columbia, Missouri. But I received an academic scholarship to Lincoln University. So I left Oklahoma and went to Lincoln in 1993 on an academic scholarship.
Lincoln, LU, woo-hoo!
LU, and that's actually where I pledged. So you mentioned me being your sorority sister, and, of course, you know Alpha Iota. That's actually where I pledged at Lincoln.
Nice. AI mm-hmm. in the house.
Absolutely.
You know, so I had a couple of other questions. So, okay, you mentioned that you got a scholarship to Lincoln, but that you ended up at Mizzou. Was that always your plan? So you went where the money was in the beginning, but your plan was always to go to a bigger school, to a school that had an engineering program and go and transfer?
Absolutely. So you mentioned that had an engineering program. Lincoln didn't have an engineering program, but you're right. I went to where the money was because I received an academic scholarship there, but I always had a plan. I knew that I would have to transfer to a larger university with a program, so I entered Lincoln with that plan, knowing that I would still need to maintain my grades, and my plan was to also try to get financial support or scholarship from a larger university when I transferred. And so I went in with a plan, and I executed my plan in 1996. It's when I applied and transferred to the University of Missouri, Columbia, on another academic scholarship and stipend because that maintained the grades that I needed, and so I was able to enter their engineering program.
Woo! Talk about a calculated plan. I love it. Math moneymakers. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the challenges that you faced. I mean, I know your story, but people on the line may not know some parts of your story that I'd love for you to share right now. So tell us about a couple of the challenges that you faced because, I mean, of course, hearing you now, you know, it sounds all rosy and all terrific, but I'm pretty sure you faced some very interesting challenges, and I'd love to hear about them. Go ahead.
Okay. So so one thing in particular, I'll just share just a story. I'll start with the challenges that I faced as far as engineering. Like, it's great now, and I won't say, I mean, it had its challenges, but in engineering, I will say the one thing that got me through, and I always think about the story that I just shared with you as far as me being frustrated with numbers and not getting it at first, but sticking to it and refusing to give up. During the term in engineering, one of my hardest challenges or biggest challenges was physics. Physics, and even today, I would say, is one of the courses that they deem or call a weed-out course. And the first day of class, or not even classrooms, we're talking about 300-plus students, and the professor stated at the beginning of the class, look to your right, look to your left, half of the students in here by mid-semester, half of them will have dropped the class, and another large percentage, and he named a percentage, will be failing. And that was the truth. That
wow.
was probably one of the most challenging times. And we're talking about the average on tests in this particular class, like 40. Like 40% was, I mean, if you made a 50, you were passing. But they call it a weed-out class, and they made it so difficult because truly they wanted to see who stuck with it, who was going to continue on, who was going to grasp the concepts that were needed and not give up. And so it was during that time that I really, really had to dig in, and I'm talking about before class tutorials, after class tutorials, group sessions, study sessions, finding the resources there in class who were in the same position that I was but just refused to give up. And that was probably the first time that I considered changing my major, but again, like when I was at 6 or 7 years old, just refusing to, like, give in to the defeat, I was like, no, I'm going to make it out of this, and I did. I made it out, and I must honestly say that was the first time I had made a C in college, and it felt like an A because it was very, very difficult, and at the end, the professor knew me by name, as big as it was, because I lived in his office, and so I always say, the extra effort, the hard work, and just the will not to give in is really what helped me make it through that class. And the professor knew how serious I was about passing it. So after I made it through, it was a breeze. I'm like, if I can make it through this, all these other classes is nothing. Nothing, nothing,
right.
nothing at all. Yes. yes, yes.
Wow. You know what? I think you've touched on a couple of things that I really, mm-hmm. really want to talk about, just for a quick second, about the not giving up factor. You know, I think that mm-hmm. to a certain extent we have, especially in our African-American community, people are afraid to ask for help. Like, they think it's like a sign of weakness. And I love that you were like, you were in every tutoring session out there. So you chose success by any means necessary. And I think that especially when we're talking about our young people and our kids, I just think that that tenacity and that drive is missing from some of them. They just think that it's going to come easy. And I love the fact that you are where you are because you were determined and you really went by any means necessary. There was no embarrassment in going to tutoring, and you've openly admitted that you had no problems doing it. Your goal was to finish. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing that, even for the listeners that's on the line that's in college, the resources are there. A lot of times, like you said, there's no embarrassment in it. But, I mean, I will openly say a lot of times it's easy to want to go hang out with your friends when you're in college versus buckle down and study. Like, you're struggling, but then you may ask yourself, you know, if you really looked at the big picture and asked how are you contributing yourself to your failure, a lot of times you are your worst victim, or you are the reason why, so you have to get out of your own way. So in that, like, my first priority was school. So that means if I had to get up extra early to go see my professor because I was struggling, like, I didn't get it, but I didn't want to give up. If I had to ask for private office hours, and that's another thing, just because you get the syllabus at the beginning of the class and it has these are my office hours, you still have the option of calling that professor saying, okay, I can't make it during this time. I'm really struggling. I really need your help. Can I set up a private time? And 9 times out of 10, they will, because they see you're taking the extra initiative. You're trying, and you're not just trying to get by. A lot of times they'll have, what do they call it, office aides. I don't think they call them office aides anymore. But private sessions set up or tutoring sessions set up that's by an aide or like a student there that may be a PhD. That's there, and I forget what they call them because I've been out of college for a while. But they have, my point is there are resources that are available. You have to take the initiative to seek them out. You have to take the initiative to talk to people in your class, to ask about study groups or study sessions, surrounding yourself with like-minded people.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, speaking of that, you know, I don't want to get personal, but because I know you, I think, a phenomenal part of your story, I feel like we have to share about, you know,
okay.
your actual, the toughest part of some of the challenges that you faced being in college. You know, so I know you and know that when you got to college, you actually had a little girl, an amazing little girl.
It
turned out to be an amazing young woman. But talk about the craziness that goes along with trying to be a engineering, math, and science student and raising a toddler.
So you're right. You're right. And she is, and I will share, because I'm glad you brought that up, Tracy, because I'm going to talk about her, and then I'm also going to talk about how when people say you are a product of your environment, or apple doesn't fall too far from a tree, or truly what you, when they say you reap what you sow into anything, and in this particular case, it was my child, how now I'm just reaping and just sitting back and just watching the things that I've sown into her. But, yes, when I entered college in 1993, I entered college with a one-year-old. She was getting ready to be 2 in October, so I was a teen mother. So I actually had my daughter when I was a junior in high school. So I mentioned that I went to college on an academic scholarship. I did that while raising a child. I had her my junior year, and this is a part that I'm going to share because I just reflected on it, and I didn't even realize it, but I reflected on it maybe a month or two ago when you called me when I was in the middle, Tracy, of writing my other book. The fall year of my junior year before I gave birth, I realized I was on bed rest. So I was actually at home, and it just dawned on me, the fall semester of my junior year, I literally had to teach myself. They sent a counselor out to my house, but it was only to pick up my homework, and I had to, you know, send it back in. So I maintained the grade and a 3.0 plus GPA teaching myself my junior year, the fall of my junior year, And I just was remembering this as I reflected back over that. So, yes, I went to college with a two-year-old majoring in engineering. My sister and I lived together when I was at Lincoln, and so I had some support. So we had an apartment together. And then when I transferred to Mizzou, it was just Ashley and I. But, yeah, she was there. Like, it wasn't like I left my child for my mother to raise her. She was with me in the lab with us when we were doing stuff with AKA. She was always there, so I raised my child throughout college and up until she left my house 2 years ago going to college herself and maintained the grades and the scholarship that I needed to make it. Absolutely.
That's, like, so amazing. And, you know, of course, with the 365 Girl Foundation, we promote the good girl look and that kind of stuff. But really, like, you know, it's also being able to maintain in the situation that you are. And kudos to you for being, I mean, you got better grades than all of us, and you had a two-year-old. We were all like, how is he doing? I mean, I know, we were all like, okay, how the heck is she doing this? Like, how is she getting these straight A's? Because we knew you were smart as a whip. And we were just like, how is she doing this? Like, we're all studying like crazy, and this girl is raising a child on the dean's list. Like, how is this happening? So, I mean, I know that, you know, me growing up without any older sisters, I was definitely watching, and I was like, wow, shout out to you, because that was just amazing. It motivated us that didn't have kids. So now we need to get our act together. If somebody can do this and straight A's without a kid, I mean, with a kid, then us, those of us that were at school just to be at school, you know, just only got to take care of ourselves to buckle down and get it together.
Right.
So definitely helped raise the bar in my life. I know that if some of my other stars were on the line, they would say absolutely. They were watching as well. So that, because that is, that is just, go ahead.
I wanted to just say one thing about that because I mentioned that she went to college, so I just have to give a shout-out to my child right now. Of course, you mentioned the child's book, and for those on the line that don't know, my child is a sophomore in college now. She's a business major, put an emphasis in branding. She actually illustrated all the entire book, so all of the design that's in the children's book, she illustrated. But in addition to that, and because this is Engineers Week, I want to talk about something as far as her capabilities and the things that she saw me do and what she's doing now. Like I said, she's in college, business major. She's a collegiate athlete, Division I collegiate athlete. She's a soccer athlete. But in addition to that, she's a math tutor. She's a business major, but she's tutoring at the collegiate level mathematics, and she maintains a 3.6 GPA. And so what does she do if she needs help before class? She goes before class if she needs help after school. And these are things that she watched me do through college that she did throughout high school, and now it's carried over to she's not even in my home anymore, but those things that I taught her, she's still doing. So it's so important, and that's just an example of if you put in the extra work, you can do anything that you put your mind to.
Wow. Well, I can tell you, a 3-5 girl, we're definitely saluting you on being able to beat the odds, because it does not work out for 99% of the teenage moms the way it worked out for you. And yours was not handed to you. You worked for it. So kudos to you. We're real excited.
Thank you.
Well, I can't tell you enough about how proud we are. And so let's talk a little bit more about, like, okay, so you talked about the challenges that you faced. So, okay, let's talk about the success. So, like, once you were getting ready to graduate, how excited were you when you were getting ready to graduate? And tell me about what the job hunt looked like. Like, did you get recruited, or did you have to go out and find a job? Was it really hard? Talk to me about what that looked like.
I was so excited, and believe it or not, I said, I want to live in Texas, the very first job. I said, I want to live in Texas, and I'm not taking anything under $50,000. And this was in 99. So this was, 11, 12 years ago?
Right.
And so, oddly enough, my teammates or my friends that were in college looking at me like, $50,000, are you crazy? I flew to Texas, had an interview at Motorola. In the spring of 99, I didn't graduate until December of 99. So months before I even graduated, I had a job offer in hand. I said I wanted to be in Texas, in the state that I said I wanted to be in, with the salary that I said I wanted. The very first interview I went on.
So you didn't even have, like, a real job. Well, you had a job search, but this was literally, like, the first interview you went on. You got the job.
Yes.
Got the offer
yep.
that you wanted. The state you wanted to be in, correct?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Math moneymakers. That's how most of 99% of the job searches go out for the college students nowadays. So kudos to you.
Yeah.
So
it was actually an easy process because of the field that I'm in.
So you're telling
so
me that if the kids go out and they're interested in math and science and they go out and become like an engineer, that they will actually get interviewed and that kind of stuff like months before they graduate and have an offer way ahead of graduation, correct?
That's yes.
And I can tell you that. I'm asking, but I know
yes,
the answer,
yes.
guys. I work in human resources for that type of company.
Yes.
I'm telling you the idea.
Yes. And not only that, you'll have the opportunity to do internships and co-ops and be in the field before you actually graduate. So you could know that a company is going to want you 2 years before you graduate if you're already interning or co-oping. So it may be a lot easier than it was even for me in the end.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. So, okay, now we've talked about the job hunt. We got to the point where you're successful, where you got the job and that kind of stuff. Tell me about what do you actually do. So what kind of engineer are you?
So I am a software systems engineer. I have 2 degrees. My master's degree is in systems engineering, and my bachelor's degree is in computer engineering, and I have a minor in mathematics.
Okay.
So so with that, for majority of my career, I was a coder, and for anybody on the phone that don't know what that is, I like the iPhone, I always use that example. So when you look at your iPhone and you look at the apps and you see the touch screens and you're touching it, that's all you see is the physical and what you're doing. But actually what drives all of that is what a software engineer would be called, and that's code. You write logic. Basically, you're taking logic and applying certain logic to what's inside the phone, and it actually drives the phone for you to be able to touch it and send commands to different places inside of the phone so that you can see in the physical what's happening behind the scenes.
Nice.
Wow,
mm-hmm. So that's kind of – so but now you do – is your job any different now, or is it pretty much like just an extension of that?
So it's different now because before I always call them before I was a doer, meaning I was down actually doing that design. Now I'm more in a leadership role. So I would be what you would consider in a system software role, architect in the system, meaning designing it. So you see the iPhone and you see what's in the physical. So from my standpoint, the whole system. So designing the iPhone, telling the software engineers this is what we need to do behind the scenes to get everything to work. So it's more of a leadership engineering role for a product.
Nice.
So, and it's a pretty big role. A systems engineer basically has to understand not just a small portion of it. When I was a software engineer, maybe you just told me to go off and design some code to get one app working. For a systems engineer, I need to understand how the entire phone would work, how if I put various pieces together, once they come together, how does that work? So I have to think as far, I call it the big picture, have to think at a much higher level and understand how everything comes together and work in order for the phone to work, if that makes sense.
Okay, so I'm kind of curious. To me, it kind of sounds like, I understand it. I'm wondering, I know what some of our viewers are wondering is, do you have fun? I mean, are you enjoying your job? Is it something that you would encourage other people to do?
I absolutely love my job. And the reason why I love my job is because the sky is the limit. What the roles that I just explained to you are roles that I wanted to do, so I created them. I didn't really create them. They are real roles. But at my job, because the company I work for values what we do as engineers, values my input, and values my opinion. Going to work every day is not like a job for me. When I get up and go to work, I know I'm going to make a difference. And I mentioned an iPhone, but I don't work at Apple. The company that I work for, I love the people that I work with and the products that we design. make a difference in the world. And so that's what I absolutely love about what I do. It is fun. I get to use my brain. I work with some of the most brilliant people in the world, period. Some of the most brilliant people. And I always say, for the amount of money I make, and we'll probably get to that, and I just have to think and come up with great ideas, man, I'm winning. I'm winning.
You're a boss. I love it. You're a boss.
Yes.
You know, that's the term now with the young people. We got to say you boss, dude. So, you know, you boss.
Okay, I'm a boss then. I'm a boss.
All right. So, you know, you brought up the money issue, and I'm not going to ask about specifics, but can you give us a ballpark? Like, because, you know, because the kids are really interested in earning potential. So you don't have to say, mm-hmm. So what I'm going to ask you is not about your specific finances. I think I'm going to ask you more like, is there capabilities of getting the six figures in the engineering world?
Absolutely. Yes,
that's what we want
to know. There's capability.
I think yes. Enough. We don't have to, unless you want to share, we don't have to get into the personal, you know. So would you say that it usually takes?
I'll say this. Even with that, you don't even, with an engineering field, that's not something that you may get out of college today and you're thinking in 20 years I'll be making six figures. Absolutely not. Like, you can, I would say it's more of a reality even now, and depending on, and this is something I wanted to touch on, is it possible? Absolutely. But the more you put in of it, and fortunately enough, like I said, with me being at a company that values you, you value the company, and it's not a job. When it's not a job and you're going and you're loving what you do, you're going to give a lot more, and in return, you're going to receive a lot more, if you understand what I'm saying. So you can get out of college today and excel in your job, and let's say 5 or 7 years from now, somebody that get out of college can make six figures easy.
Nice. So yeah. That's what's important to the, I mean, I know that, you know, loving what you do is important, but kids haven't got, a lot of the young people haven't gotten to that point. So if we're trying to reach them, we got to talk dollars and cents. And so mm-hmm. that six-figure number is something that they're trying to attain. Like, they want to be able to drive the BMW. They want to be able to do,
right.
you know, all because they want to be able to own their own home. And this is a viable career field for that. So me out there working with the kids, I hear it all the time. Every time I go speak to the kids, they're like, well, how much money is involved? So I didn't want to get personal, but I had to go there because I have heard the question on numerous occasions. So, what advice do you have for girls who are interested in getting in the field? Like, what are some of the good things for them to be studying and focusing on now? Like, what's your advice for that?
So my advice, and kind of like I focused on in school, and I'll just touch on this because my daughter just graduated, but apply taking advanced classes. So if you're in high school right now and you're just taking the basics and you're thinking about majoring in engineering, science, technology, or mathematics, that's not going to cut it, especially if you're trying to get scholarships and you're trying to get into these universities. And I'll just say it based on the area that I live in, because I know depending on the demographics, it's different. But when my daughter was in school, a 4.0, what is that? It was on a 5.0 scale, because it was so many advanced classes. You had high school kids taking college courses, dual credits, taking AP courses. So my advice would be, don't just do the bare minimum. If engineering, science, technology, or mathematics is one of the fields you're thinking about, you're going to have to go above and beyond just barely making it or just meeting the bar. And then that will also prove that you're serious about it and that you're ready for it, because you're going to have to push yourself above just being average. You're going to have to be more than average to be prepared to excel at it when you get to college and not struggle. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but you'll be better prepared by taking more advanced classes in high school.
Nice. That's some really good advice. I think that that you've given out some really good advice, because in this day and age, if you're not taking AP classes and that kind of stuff, you are definitely behind the power curve, because summer school
right.
classes and all of that. So shout out to you for making sure that Ash Cass XOXO took all that stuff and is doing it big with that 3.6. We're proud of you, Ashley. So this is my next question, and I know this is something that a lot of women and a lot of young girls are really going to be thinking about.
What kind of challenges have you faced being in a predominantly male environment? Like, so I know that, the, you know, engineering, and we have some stats out there that we're going to be quoting in a bit, that talk about kind of what the statistics are for, you know, women in engineering, and they're pretty low across the board, averaging right around 25% to 30% across all disciplines. So talk to us about what it's like being, how did you handle working in a predominantly male field, excuse me?
You know, it's so funny that you asked that question. I thought about one of my old bosses. So the one challenge in particular that I thought about would have been maybe 7 years ago, and this was when I worked at a company who I'll say was typically, how do I want to put it, old school, shall I say. So when you say predominantly male environment, so me, young thing, out of college, maybe 5 years, you know, blowing and going, you know, just excited about being in the industry, doing great things, I was faced with this challenge where I had been off doing this research, me and another young lady who was excelling in her career as well, and we found this data on a product that we were doing, and we were like, okay, this is not going to work. There's, you know, various problems. This is what's going on. And so one comment he made was, and this really shocked me, he was like, well, no, that's not right. That couldn't be right. There's no way you can know that information. You're too young, you know, to know that information. And I'm thinking like, wow, this is odd. So just the interaction throughout that year, being in a male predominantly field and also having a older male as a boss, I knew that this was kind of new for him, a younger female, you know, making suggestions, having a voice, because that's one thing I typically have is a voice. So that was the first time kind of challenged and noticing that I was, you know, not, I was the minority in this situation and in this organization. So one of the things that I did, because I said I have a voice, is I called a meeting. Like I asked him, you know, do you have time to talk? So I addressed the situation with him. You know, I brought up the fact that, okay, these are the things that I told you, but the comment that you made, you know, I felt was kind of inappropriate based on the fact that I've been off working this and I'm bringing you facts and the data and all of this. Well, it would be maybe a year or so later once the information that we had provided came back to bite him because he didn't listen at the time. So he actually had to come back and apologize for not listening and basically told us that, you know, the information you provided was valid. You know, I apologize for, you know, that situation. So that was probably the most challenging time and a time that I realized that I was a female in a male's world, would you say? But I think it was also how I handled that situation that made all of the difference. And believe it or not, I can honestly say that was probably the only time in my career that I felt like that I was in an awkward situation or kind of felt out of place. Now, sometimes I'll look around the room and I have to realize, wow, Crystal, you're the only female in the room, because it's just become a part of me going to work, doing my job, and working with just bright people. But unfortunately, it's not like that for everybody, so I'm not going to say it doesn't have its challenges, but that was just one in particular that I had early on in my career.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that. So mm-hmm. I've got another question. So now let's get into a little bit of the fun stuff. So you got a new book out. It's to inspire girls and little boys.
I do.
And that kind of stuff. And so I want to know, how has the book changed your life so far? And really, when I say so far, we're only really talking about 35 days. How's it been?
It has been absolutely amazing. And you know I'm going to share what even inspired the book. So, but it's funny because for everybody on the line, Tracy actually was the inspiration behind, and 365 Foundation was the inspiration behind the children's book. So when I got a call last year about writing the book, I was really, like, I was really, 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 really honored. So I wrote the book, and I had no idea that this would really be a point in my life where it truly has changed. Like, it's taken off. The book released on January the 20th, as you know, And as far as even advertising about the book, we was off for like maybe a week or two. But the calls that are coming in, various organizations that want to hear about the book, the schools that want me to come out and talk about the book, the president of the PTA in Oklahoma who wants me to get on the board, because it's so needed. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics is so needed. So I didn't realize it was going to go out and do the things that it's done just in a short amount of time. So I'm bracing myself and kind of putting some things in place and preparing myself to really go out, because I'm believing there's going to be a book tour in 2012. I'm believing it just at the way things are going. So I'm really preparing myself and making myself available to really go out and talk about it because, as I've shared here on the phone, I love my job. I love what I do. We need more women, especially in engineering, and I just refuse to believe there's not more of us out there, and it's just a matter of being exposed. It's just a matter of sticking with it. And, you know, even in the difficult times, if you make it through, I promise you, my life is a living testimony that the benefits that comes along with it are phenomenal, phenomenal. So with the book, great things are coming, phone ringing off the hook, Texas email, people saying, Crystal, I want you to contact this person, contact that person. So it's going to be a great year. I believe it's going to be a great year and much more to come.
Epic 2012, that's what I've been telling my team all year, ever since last year. That's been our motto, which is Epic 2012, and you are well on your way. You know, Lexi Press Publishing actually has a couple of T-shirts out there that say Female Engineers Rock and Future Female Engineers. I mean, I just think the movement, I would agree. I've been, you know, part of this since the beginning, and it's just been amazing to see the support and the interest. And shout out to President Barack Obama, who clearly put it in the State of the Union address. He talked about the STEM, you know, which is, as you said earlier, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics careers. So it's a huge focus all the way up to the White House. So it's definitely needed. The Girl Scouts has an initiative for this. I mean, it is just sweeping. That's how needed it is. I work in human resources, and I can tell you that, you know, when we find female engineers, we will, like, you know, offer sun, moon, and stars because it's just such a drought out there. So if your child, your niece, your cousin, your nephew is looking for a career and they have that knack, love to put things together, engineer might be what's for them. So, and there's other careers that, you know, that math offers. You know, you could go out and be a professor. I mean, there's just so many avenues. That is not a career field or a major where you will be without work. So anyway, just my little two cents. So now let's talk about the fun stuff. I want to know a little bit about the personal side. So we've been all business all this time, but let's talk about what you like to do for fun. What do you enjoy? Like, how do you kick back? Like, because clearly you're driven. Excuse me, clearly you're busy. What do you like to do for fun? How do you like to unwind?
So the very first thing you probably noticed about me, workout. So if I had to say number one on my list, and that for me, when I'm winding down, like I work out probably 4 to 5 times a week, and my winding down is hitting the gym. I just can't explain what it feels like when I'm in the gym. But that's just the wind down. For fun, I love my family. I love my friends. I love hosting parties. I love hosting parties. So for me, hosting a party with a theme at my house, inviting my friends, my family over just for a night or evening of relaxation and just to fellowship. I absolutely love that. I love to travel. So me and my girlfriend jumping on a plane. As a matter of fact, I'm on a flight. I just came from L.A. this weekend. I'm on a flight this Thursday. I'll be on the slopes in Park City, Utah, skiing. There's a group of 10 of us that's staying in an in-and-out ski resort where we can just come out of our condo and get on the lift and go up to the mountains and ski the beach. I love the beach. Probably go to Hawaii this summer on vacation with my daughter. So I just love hanging out with friends and family and traveling and working.
Nice. And I heard you say you own your own home, huh? Well, that's a great benefit to being an engineer. It obviously has a full life.
I own two homes, but yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, pow, there we go. So I'm like, but that is one of those things that, you know,
know, when you're talking to the kids and that kind of stuff, that's another one of those things that's important to them, you know, things that they haven't been able to necessarily see their parents do, that they can do, you know, when they buckle down and commit to careers like, you know, math and science careers. So shout out
Absolutely.
To you. Oh, yay, skiing. Yeah, skiing is a lot of fun. I've actually had a chance to do that, too, when I lived in Korea with the military. We lived on those slopes, so I'm going to have to get in on one of these ski weekends. Trust. But my
Absolutely.
Husband is a musician and scared to break a bone, so I'm going to have to just get in on the girl side and go kick it with you guys.
Absolutely.
That's exciting. So now we're on that whole vacation vein. Tell me about the best vacation you've done to date or the vacation or your dream vacation. I tell you, we're going to get a little personal.
So I must say that the best vacation that I've done to date would have me, my sister, my mom, and my daughter on Ashley's vacation. I mean, on Ashley's high school graduation, we went to the Bahamas and we stayed at the Atlantis. But it was the actual Atlantis that was just absolutely amazing. Like, that resort in the Bahamas was, I can't even explain it. It was so nice. And just to be there, like, with my family, and we stayed for about a week, and there was so much to do and so much to explore. And it's just the feeling that I had when I was there was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. To this day, Ashley even still says, Mom, I want to go back there, because it was just something about being there and the food and the people and the fellowship that was just amazing.
Aww. Yes. And then dream vacation? Sorry, we're getting all personal. Dream vacation?
My dream vacation. I would have to say my dream vacation would probably be, let me think about this one. I haven't thought about that one in a while, Tracy.
Okay. So we'll move on.
Yeah.
Tweet us
Let
later.
Me think about that.
We'll get out. Tweet us later. Huh? I'm sorry?
Okay. I said okay.
Civil engineering, you know, is one of the fields that's also, you know, underpopulated with females. It's around 15% of all civil engineers are female. So these are just some stats that I think are just interesting to share with our public, you know. Hardware engineering, like electrical and that kind of thing, I believe those numbers are relatively low, too, of right under 20% as well. So it's definitely needed. I applaud what you're out there doing. We're partnering with you and hoping that we sweep the nation to change the epidemic and really get girls excited. And not just, like I said, girls, little boys, too, excited about careers in engineering, and especially minorities, because the numbers clearly show that we are definitely, underrepresented in those career fields. So, you know what? We've asked about all those things. Let's talk a little bit about what the next 5 years looks like for you.
Okay. Okay, so Lachelle's not on the line, and she's not going to answer. So with me, as you know, I'm always doing something, always thinking about what's next. And so for me, I really have a passion. Just this past weekend when I was out with your organization, so for the next within the next 5 years, I could see myself on tour speaking around the world about STEM. You're sharing some portions of my life, but also one thing that I will have in the future is my a desire to have my own engineering consulting firm. So with me being an engineer and with me excelling, I'll say, in what I do, and also as I'm growing, because you never stop growing, as I'm growing and realizing my strengths and even what I have to provide to the world as far as services. Within the next five to 10 years, I could see myself owning my own engineering consulting firm.
Wow. Well, kudos to you for the five-year plan, because those who have a five-year plan usually have five-year realities. So kudos to you. I just want to give out a couple of more why this show was so important. So it's National Engineers Week, and I just want to give out a couple of the huge stats that I think need to be shared, because you have to understand why we're so passionate about seeing change in this area. So we talked about civil engineering, and I said electrical engineering was less than 20%. Well, actually, to be exact, it's 5% of all electrical engineers are female. 5%. That means it's 95% male-dominated. Mechanical engineering, 5% are females. Chemical engineering is actually the most popular for female engineers, and that's 80% of all chemical engineers are females. Computer engineering is 50%, excuse me. So electronics and communication engineers has less than 30%. When we talk about aeronautical engineering, which is like, you know, space and that kind of stuff, 2-3% are female engineers. Industrial engineers, right around equals 3%. And then sanitary engineering, as I guess as to be expected, is about 2%. These numbers, I mean, that is staggering. I mean, here we talk about women who are looking for jobs and college students that are looking for jobs and high school students that are looking for career fields. And here we have clear opportunities for growth. And I can tell you that with the president talking about that and Girl Scouts, you know, taking an interest in this, these are careers that are going to continue to grow. So I just wanted to put those statistics out there, and I've got to just repeat, just in case you missed it, electrical, mechanical, and aeronautical engineer are all less than 5% female populated. There's area for growth here. There's room for growth. Industrial engineering, sanitary engineering. So, Chris, I got a quick question. How do kids find out, you know, about these different types of engineering? Where do they go to find out more information? Like, you know, if they wanted to do some research and just find out what exactly a chemical engineer does, how do they get research?
Actually, the first thing, besides going online and Googling it, believe it or not, the last couple of schools or even counselors or teachers that I talked to, the first place they can start actually is at their school. Believe it or not, various schools have set up information sessions at school. People, the kids may not know about it, but if you go to your counselor's office and ask them, they may have pamphlets that's already there. And I just learned this myself as far as an immediate resource on campus. They may have pamphlets that are available on campus for you to learn more about it. Of course, if you have access to computers, which most children do, you can always Google the information to find out more about the field. But if you're actually going on college visits, the first thing you should ask, because you'll enter in and you'll do a visit, but they have a school of engineering there that has more information on what it would take to enter that particular program as well. So I would start with your high school counselors. Office, and then from there, if you have access to a computer, I would Google information on engineering. But during college visits also, if you're thinking about majoring in that field, make sure you visit their engineering office to get more information on what's going on at their school in the world of engineering.
Fantastic. So, Crystal, we appreciate you being on our show and sharing just all the great information that you've had to share so far. So there's a question in the chat room, and we knew it was going to happen. The question in the chat room is a little more personal in nature, so you can choose to decline. But, you know, I guess the question is with you being so successful and, you know, and all of those things, they want to know, is it hard for you to find a counterpart or to sustain a relationship being just so rock star? And I debated about whether we were going to ask, but we got a couple minutes, so it's out there in the chat room. You know how we are, 365 Girl World. You know, it's real talk, real host. Sorry.
Yeah, so I will answer that question. And it's funny because, of course, I get that all the time. And the answer to that is no. And the reason why I say that is because I guess it depends on, I guess with me being so busy as I am, me deciding and knowing, and I'll just take a step back. For me, I won't just take anything just like anybody else. So even with me being as successful as I am, I'm still very cautious of who I choose to date and who I choose to allow in my space and to share my time with me. So no, it's not hard at all. Now, me deciding to go out on various dates or whatever, I have those options. So, no, it's not difficult.
It just kind of changes the type of dudes that you're approaching.
It does.
By, right?
And I was trying to figure out how I was going to answer that So even with that being said, because I'll just say this. I'm not that type of woman that just because I am so successful, and I tell people this all the time, you will never hear me say I don't need a man, because I think God created us to I think God created me to be with a man, so to share a relationship and to build with a man. So I won't ever say that. However, I won't just settle for any man either.
Got
so
it.
I have a choice to be selective on who I choose to entertain. And another thing, me and my girlfriend was talking about this yesterday, so I'll share with another couple of minutes. I'm very prayerful in who I date, and I always pray, God, send me someone who can accept me for who I am. Because one thing I won't do, and this is for any other woman on the phone who may be successful, I won't change who I am and the drive I have to make a man feel comfortable. So if it comes with me changing who I am, now if it's something that I'm doing that's offending someone, or if I'm so into myself that it's offending a man, I'll check myself because I'm always the first person to look at myself. But if I'm changing who Crystal is to make a man feel comfortable with himself, it's something I won't do.
Well, pow, pow, pow to that, because we at 365 Girl are not about settling. What's the point in having standards if we lower them?
Absolutely.
Got that
absolutely.
The kid again when she was sharing with the girls. What's the point in having standards if you're going to continually lower them to your point? So shout out to you. Crystal, this has been amazing. We are so thankful that you took time out of your schedule and that kind of stuff to talk with us and to share and hopefully make a difference in some young girl's life and even some of these, adults, because there may be some women out there who are looking to make a career field change, and it's absolutely not out of the question. I've interviewed women, I know my company has talked to some women who, have made a career change later in life and have decided on engineering way later, went to school, got PhDs, and went on about their business, So it's never too late, So I really want to thank you for taking the time and sitting down and talking with us and being so candid and sharing a piece of Crystal's world, because everybody's not, as comfortable with their life to be able to share. Shout out to you and all that you're doing. Best of luck with the book. I can't wait to finish up this partnership and to continue to see where it takes us next. We're excited and would love to have you. We can't wait for you to join us at the Chicago Pajama Party, which I know is coming
up
in September. So we're excited. We know we've got a couple of math and science weeks that are coming up this summer, so we're excited about having you partner with 365 Girl Foundation with that as well. Again, we thank you for your honesty, for your candidness, for being a wealth of information today, and just taking the time to sit down and talk about this much-needed initiative. So shout out to you. Are there any final words, anything you want to say to the girls out there? Anybody?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. If for anybody, and I mean it could be engineering or anything, and I'll just share this with our 2 minutes left to go. As I shared in L.A. this last past week, when I asked people to send me 5 describing words, driven, and that's what I get a lot is driven. So for anybody that's out there who may be going through something or in a course or, just struggling and you thought about giving up, trust me when I tell you this, do not quit. There's always, you will definitely reap the benefits at the end if you continue, whatever it may be, and especially if it's engineering. I'm a living testimony that, the benefits are definitely great. My life would definitely be different if I had given up years ago, but because I've continued on, I have another degree in engineering, because I've continued on, it's just been so many opportunities and doors that have opened up for me, and it's just been a blessing. So whatever it is, whatever you may be going through, don't quit. If you stick to it, you will reap the benefits.
Nice. Well, pow, 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 and 365 Girl, salute to you. Again, thank you so much for taking the time out and logging in and sharing your story with us. If you guys are interested in what we're doing and want to be a part, so you can order the book at www.lexipressbooks.com. Again, it's www.lexipressbooks.com. That's the website where you can order Crystal's Magical Journey into Engineering. We also are having a few giveaways. If you will email us at crystall@lexipressbooks.com, the 15th person that emails us will actually get a couple of cool gifts that we're going to put in the mail to you. So we're giving away to lucky emailer number 15. Say, I want the stuff.
That's all you have to put in the subject matter is, I want the stuff. And again, it's the Crystal, CRYSTALJ, at LexiPressBooks.com. And that's also a bit of contact information. If you want to reach out to Crystal, you want her to come and speak or anything along that lines, please go ahead and reach out to her there and talk about and go ahead and try and set something up. We are so excited about what's happening. You want to catch out what happened with 365 Girl and everything that's happening in our world, you can hit us up at www.365girlsrock.com. There'll be some new pictures updated with the LA Pajama Conference. Crystal is actually going to be writing articles all week on Lexi Press Pub and on 365 Girl about National Engineering Week. So there'll be a lot of great information. We're running some interesting contests and that kind of stuff. Follow us on Facebook. The book Crystal's Magical Journey into Engineering has its own Facebook page. Please go ahead and like that on Facebook, and make sure you like us at facebook.com/365girl as well. We've got our Twitter pages at 365 Girl World and at 365 Girl at 365 Chi-Town Girl, at 36 at Lexi Press Pub, and at C_L_Jackson. And that's the author's email. Again, thank you guys for logging on. We're so excited about everything that's going on. Have an amazing and fantabulous week. And to my co-host, you held it down on the social medias. I love you. Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.